Good morning, everybody. Well, this series, we call it the four seasons. In this series, we will talk about four things. We will talk about birth, talk about aging, talk about sickness, and talk about death. And all these four things that everyone has to go through these four things in his lifetime, so that we call it four seasons. And to date, we are going to start with a topic about death. So this is the most serious ones. Why don't we have a word of prayer before we go into this topic? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. You enable us to come together to worship you. Lord, you are a good God, and you are the one worth our praise. Lord, this morning that we ask for your presence, we ask for the Holy Spirit to come upon us, to fill our heart, open our ear, open our heart so that you can use your word to mold us, to encourage us, to comfort us, and to transform us. So Lord, may you come to us, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Death, a topic which is not easy to discuss in public. Not because it is difficult to discuss, but because it is always a taboo, especially among Chinese. We do not like to talk about it. We even seldom to think about it, even though we all know that everybody has to face it one day. Well, in the past 2 months, I was surrounded by this topic because three good friends of mine passing away within the same month. The first one, was my best friend's husband. He was 65 years old, and not long after he announced his retirement, he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and he passed away last month. The second one was my friend in university. We studied in SFU, and we served in campus ministry together. She was a person with long-term illness, but she was always very positive with her life. She was cheerful and happy always. Her faith in God encouraged people who experienced the same struggles. Last month, her condition got worse suddenly, and she was sent into the hospital. I thought she will recover soon, but unfortunately, weeks ago, her family sent me a message telling me that she passed on. You know, I was so shocked when I received the news, because I was still texting her the way she died, the same day she died. The third one was a pastor, my co-workers. He was the victim of the car crash in the at the U.S. borders, nearby the Peace Arch Park. His name is Reverend Tom Jung. Reverend Tom and I became good friends since last year after we returned from a mission trip to Mexico. He was a person with integrity, a faithful servant, a kind person, a passionate pastor who loves his church so much. When he was heading back to Canada after picking up his parcel across the border, all of a sudden, an SUV crashed into his car in high speed, which caused his car on fire and explosions. He was pronounced dead when the police arrived. I was in his memorial service yesterday. Horrible news, isn't it? And it was really hard for me to digest all this bad news at once in such a short period of time. You know, usually people in such kinds of situations, they will ask questions. They will ask, why did people die? How could such horrible things happen to my friends or even to my families? But you know what? I didn't ask these kinds of questions. I did not need to. because I already accepted that this is the reality of our life. Everybody has to face their death one day. No one is exceptional. Several weeks ago, I had an opportunity to pay a visit to a local hospice, a place that accommodates patients with terminal illnesses. Well, it was my first time to be there, and I had a chance to chat with the chaplain. We had a very good chat. I had an opportunity to visit his day-to-day operation, and I understand a little bit more about his ministry. Well, before I took off, he heartily shared with me his view on death. He said to me, "If church pastors can encourage Christians to understand more about death, perhaps they won't be so scared about it when it happens." I think he is right. Today, even Christians themselves could have a lot of fear about death. So if we can understand death a little bit more, I believe that we can face it in a more positive way. Do you think so? But the problem is, we seldom talk about it because we think it is too horrible and too painful too. But the fact is, the less we talk about it, the more we fear it. Why is that so scary? Why do people fear death? Have you asked this question before? Well, according to my observation, there might be three different reasons people fear death. First of all, people fear death because they do not know where they go after death. Well, I think this kind of fear is pretty reasonable, understandable. Because even when you were asked to visit a country or somewhere you have not been there before, let's say you're going for a vacation, I guess you would also experience a certain level of anxiety before you go, right? Why? Because you have not been there before. And you do not have any idea what's going to happen when you get there. So this kind of fear is pretty normal. It's natural. Second, why people fear death? Because they fear separation. Nobody wants to be separated from their loved ones. And death usually gives us an impression that it took us away from our family eternally. You may be the ones who leave, or you may be the ones who stay. But whoever you are, you do not like the feeling of being separated from those you care and love. And third, why people fear death? They fear death because they don't like regrets. Well, we usually see death as the end of our life, right? There's no more life after death. So whatever we want to do and finish in this life, death stops us from finishing it permanently. Death takes away our dream. It stops us from achieving our goals and from finishing what we have not yet finished in our lifetime. So at the end, when we leave the world, we will have a lot of regrets, and this is exactly why people fear death. But whatever kind of fear we have to death, death is inevitable. Everybody has to face it one day, and no one is exceptional. So the only question that is relevant to us to ask is, how will you face it when it happens? You know, I really want the answer. And I know I have to find it myself. So I go search for the answer. But instead of searching it from the outside world, I choose to look for the answer from the Bible. Because for me, it only makes sense to find the answer about death from the one who gives life, right? So I opened my Bible, and to my surprise, the Holy Spirit led me to read the stories of Apostle Paul. Do you know Apostle Paul? Do you know this guy? Have you heard about his stories? Well, he was one of the followers of Jesus. But do you know that before he became a believer, he was indeed a Jewish zealot who was so keen on persecuting Christians. He went to different cities, different villages, to arrest Christians and put them into jail. One day, he brought a troop of his men and was planning to go to a city called Damascus, because someone told him that there was a group of Christians hiding in the city. So, as usual, he went there. He wanted to arrest them. But when he was on the road to Damascus, suddenly a bright, shining white light appeared in front of him. The light was so bright. This light, just like a spotlight here. And he could barely open his eyes. And in the middle of the light, he saw a man standing right there. That man was Jesus. Jesus was standing there and showing Paul that he was indeed the glorious Christ who was resurrected from the dead. He said to Paul, Saul is the name that Paul used to have. Why are you persecuting me? Well, Paul was so scared. And he replied, who are you? Who are you? Then Jesus said to him, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Through this event, Paul finally understood that what he did in the past was totally wrong. Jesus was not the one he should persecute. Instead, he was the resurrected Christ, so he was the one he should follow instead. So, right after this event, Paul repented from what he did in the past, and his life has been changed completely. He became a Christian himself. And like other Christians, he starts to go to different places, different villages, different cities to preach Jesus. But when he started to preach Jesus, he was persecuted by other Jews. And many times the persecutions were so intense that he almost got killed. In 2 Corinthians, he told the church about his life. His life was full of danger. And he said, I was talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. And then he started to explain. 5 times I received at the hand of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety of all the churches. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 28. So friends, can you imagine what kind of life Paul was living? He was living in a shadow of death. Therefore, if you wonder whether Paul had ever thought about death or all the fears that might generate from it, I think I'm pretty sure he had. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't fear death in such kind of circumstances? But the interesting thing is, when you pay attention to Paul's teaching, you probably cannot find any clue, any sign about his fear of death. He did not fear death, in fact. On the contrary, Paul's heart was always full of hope, love, and courage. Why? Because, unlike others, Paul knew exactly where he will go after death. That's why in Philippians chapter 1, 20 to 24, Paul said this: "As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death, for me to live in Christ and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet, which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account." Paul said, to die is gain. Have you ever heard anyone say something like that before? To die is gain. That means to die is better than to live, given that Paul was not suicidal. And he knew he has to live because he had a mission to carry on in his life. But he was not afraid to die. In fact, if he was allowed, he was quite ready to leave this world because he knew where he will go after death. He longed for being with Christ. You know, people always have an impression that death is the end of their lives. That's why they fear death. The idea of everything will come to an end makes people upset, disappointed, and hopeless. But Paul obviously did not see death in this way. In Paul's eyes, death is not the end of everything. It is not even the end of his life, but a gateway leading him into the eternity. Have you watched Endgame yet? Have you watched it? I mean the Avenger movie, Endgame. Okay, I hear somebody is laughing, so I know that you have heard and you have watched it. I went to watch the movie with my whole family. But you know what? The night before we went to the movie, my younger daughter came to me and told me that she was not ready to watch the movie. I don't understand. I just asked her, "What do you mean not ready? Everybody ready, right?" Actually, we longed for this movie to come out for years. So everybody should ready to watch Endgame. Why do you say that you are not ready? So, she explains to me, she said, she was not ready because she did not want to see the story just end there. Because she thought after Endgame, there will be no more Avenger movie. What should I do? No more Avenger. Well, I think I can understand a little bit more about her feelings after her explanations. But the interesting thing is, the next day, she came to me again and told me that, "Dad, I'm ready again." I'm so curious. Why? What makes you ready this time? I was so curious. Then she told me, on that particular morning, she had read an article online about the movie. And the article told her that Endgame was indeed not the end of the story. It was a story between two different phases of the MCU. In other words, the story will continue even after Endgame. And according to the reliable sources, the Marvel Studio have already planned for another 9 more movies and TV series in couples of years that will either align with the storyline or continue the storylines in the next few years. So, you are going to see Spider-Man Far From Home this coming summer. And more exciting, there will be Doctor Strange 2 coming, Black Panther 2, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the Black Widow movie, wow, continues, etc. and etc. Well, obviously, this great news took her worry away because she was told that Endgame was not even the aim, the end of the game. So, you can imagine, similar to what Paul had in mind, death is not the end of his life. He knew that it is just a gateway leading him into another phase of his life, which will be in the eternity. And somehow he knew that his life in this eternity will be even better. Like what the book of the Revelations has told us, when a person is with God eternally, God will wipe away every tear from his eyes. And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, nor for the former things have passed away. Paul knew it. He knew that this will be his future. And his hope for this future was so overwhelming that took all his fear of death away from him. So, friends, if I tell you, you are going to die tonight, what do you fear? What do you fear? Do you fear death because you do not know where to go after death? If this is so, look at Paul. Paul did not fear. Paul had no fear of death because he knew exactly where he will go. But there is another reason why Paul was not afraid of death. In his eyes, death is not permanent. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when Paul knew that some people were saddened by the death of their friends and family, Paul said to them, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 14. Brother and sister, I would like you to pay attention to this passage, especially on how Paul describes death. When he describes those who were dead, he did not use the term dead. He used another term. He described that he used the term asleep. What's the difference? What's the difference between dead and asleep? You tell me. Well, obviously, death gives us an impression that it is permanent, right? But asleep is different. Asleep is temporary. When the times come, those who are asleep will be awake again. What Paul is talking about here is the resurrection. Jesus was crucified and dead, and he was resurrected and rose again. And Paul wants us to know that because of Jesus' resurrection, one day you and me, we will also be raised again from the dead like him. Let's look at the passage. The passage continued, and Paul said, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." How could Paul so sure about that? How could Paul so sure about our resurrection? Well, the answer is very simple. Because Paul has seen it. He saw Jesus dying on the cross. He knew that he was buried in a tomb. But after 3 days, Jesus rose again and show up in front of him on his way to Damascus. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul also said, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead." Paul explained that Jesus' resurrection is actually the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. What does that mean? What is first fruit? Do you know what is first fruit? When you are in the garden and you want to know whether a particular tree will bear fruits in the coming years, what you need to do is to look for the first fruit that was born on that tree. If you saw the first fruit on that tree, well, you will probably know that there will be more coming. This first fruit assures the coming of more fruits. So if Jesus is the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep, then his resurrection will also assure their resurrections. You know, in fact, there was no one like Jesus in the human history who died and rose again. He was the only one who qualified, who can assure us that our lives will continue after death. And when we are raised from the dead again, Paul said, we will always be with the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 17, and so we will always be with the Lord. You have to pay attention here. Not only Paul will always be with the Lord, but we will always be with the Lord. Who is we? Who are we? We includes you and me. We includes everyone who is in Christ. We includes those who follow Jesus faithfully. We might also include your wife, your husband, your sons, your daughters, your parents, your family. So if today we are all in Christ, then we can be assured that death will never separate us from each other. We will never be afraid of not seeing our family because we will eventually be together in the eternity with the Lord again, where there is no tears, no death, no mourning, no crying, no pain anymore. Death is not the end of our life, my brother and sister. Death is a gateway leading us into the eternity with our Lord. And since Jesus was the first fruit of us, his resurrection would assure us that our lives will be continue after death. And this is comforting because in Christ, there is no fear of separation anymore. And this is one more reason why Paul did not fear death. But Paul did not fear death, not only this. There is another reason. When he talked about fear of regrets, Paul had a very unique way to look at it. In 2 Timothy, Paul tried to conclude his life with Timothy, and he said, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, And the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. Paul knew that his time of departure was near. He knew death was around the corner. Even though his life was about to end, still, you find no despair in his heart. How come? Because he was looking forward. He was looking forward to receive the crown of righteousness that he knew he will be awarded at the time he meets his Lord. You may ask, did Paul have any regret in his life? Of course. Of course he did. There were so many regrets. He persecuted Christians. But as a follower of Christ, Paul did not let that regret hinder his life. Instead, after his repentance, he lived fully and faithfully for Jesus. He gave 100% of his life to Jesus to serve the Lord. He served the Lord faithfully, even though he was a sinner in the past. So when his life came to an end, he can proudly say both to himself and to Timothy that he was fought the good fight, finished the race, and kept the faith. Therefore, my fellow brothers and sisters, if we do not want to have regrets at the end of our lives, we should properly learn from Paul. Don't let your past hinder your life. After you repent, you live your life fully and faithfully for the Lord. So, if this is so, how do you live your life today? How do you spend your time today? How do you use your talents and gifts today? How do you spend your resources today so that you will not have any regrets at the end of your life? Tell you what, when Paul was trying to conclude his life with Timothy, he probably had a mental picture inside his head. Imagine, Paul was running a marathon race. He was a marathon runner. Indeed, he used his whole life to run this race. And now, he is about to finish his race. Perhaps there are several hundred feet remaining. He is heading to the finishing line, which is right inside the stadium. And when he runs into the stadium, the moment he entered into the field, he saw all the people sitting in the stadium. They all rise up and they cheered for him. He saw Abraham. He saw Isaac. He saw Jacob sitting on the front row. And he saw the apostles. He saw the kings of Israel, the prophets. And also he saw Moses. Moses is over there. Isaiah, Elijah. They all stood up and cheer for him, and they all cry out, "Hey, Paul! Hey, Paul! My brother! Good job! Way to go! You should be proud!" And when Paul was running at his last 200 feet, he finally saw the finishing line. And right behind the finishing line, he saw the ceremonial stage. Next to the stage, he saw Jesus. Jesus was right there, standing, holding a crown on his hand, waiting for him passing the finishing line. Because once he passed the finishing line, Jesus will put the crown on his head. And he will say to Paul, "My good and faithful servant, you have been faithful with what I entrusted you. Good job. Well done. Come to my house and we will have banquet together." Imagine with this mental picture in Paul's head. Did he be afraid of regrets anymore? Did he be afraid of death anymore? I do not think so. And you do know the good news? What the good news is? The good news is, this picture is not just for Paul only. It is for us too. You and me. Because Paul said, this award was not only to him, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So church, tell me, as Christian, do we still need to be afraid of death? Do you have the answer now? Death is not the end of our life. It is a gateway leading us into the eternity. If we know that this is true, do we still need to fear death because we do not know where we will go? If death is not permanent, and whoever dies one day will rise again and be with our Lord forever, tell me, do we still need to fear death because of separation? If we know that death is not able to stop us from living this life fully and freely, and whoever follow our Jesus faithfully will be awarded, do we still need to fear death because of regrets? I do not think so. I do not think we will fear death anymore. And with all the promises that God has given us, not only we do not fear death, but also we are encouraged. We are encouraged to live our lifetime fully and freely. We are encouraged to live our life lively and boldly. And we are encouraged to offer our lives to our Lord faithfully, with courage and strength. Because death is not the end of our life. It is a gateway leading us into the eternity where we will with our Lord forever and ever. So, do you think it is comforting? Do you think it is encouraging? I wish the word of the Lord will always comfort you and encourage you to live a life with strength and love and faith. Why don't we stand up and have a word of prayer? Dear Lord, thank you for everything. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love. Thank you for your protection, your providence. Thank you for being the Lord of our life. Yes, we know that life is unpredictable. We have seen that accidents, tragedy, always happens in our life. And there's no way we can control when they happen. But Lord, you promised it. You said, you are our refuge. You are our salvation. And you have promised us that you will be always with us. And we will not be forsaken, and you will always be by our side. So, Lord, today we count on your promise. We ask for your protection to come upon us, everybody in this hall. Let your Holy Spirit be our guidance. Grant us strength and courage. Give us faith so that we can always look up to you and follow your path. Help us to find rest and comfort in your shadow, and let us know that the only safe place is in you, our Lord. Our Lord Jesus, you are our keeper. You are our savior. Please protect us. Strengthen our hearts. Guard our outgoing and our coming in from this time and forever. And we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Let's sing this song as a response to the message this morning. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days have been held in your hands. And the moment I wake up, till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In the darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me, your goodness. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after. I will sing the goodness of God I will sing. All my life you have been faithful.
Yes, you have.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I will sing.
I will sing of the goodness.
We'll sing of your goodness forever and ever, for you have been faithful throughout our life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's continue to stand and receive the benedictions from the Lord. May the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.